Okay.
Read the release form.
I hereby give you the Medal of the Overstreet Project. The tape or tapes recorded on October 2nd, 1981 for such educational and scholarly uses and purposes as the directors E. Kennedy, M. Davis, and A. Michelson shall determine. I further consent to the transcription and publication of any or all of this interview as educational and scholarly work required. I've been assured that only my first name will be employed in any use of these tapes. I understand that at some future date, the tapes will be housed in an archive chosen by the directors of the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project and will be available for public access, governed by the rules of the archive. I give consent that these tapes be made available for research immediately after the date of the last interview.
That's it. Usually we start by asking somebody if they know that we're writing a history of the Buffalo lesbian community. What are the most important things that come to your mind that we would have to be sure to include?
I think one of the most important things that you would have to include, that even though in this age it is being more accepted than it used to be, there still is a fair amount of ridicule and condemnation by the average person, and therefore anyone who sets out to live as a lesbian must realize the problems that are entailed.
Mm-hmm. So you'd say that's the most important kind of thing?
I would say that was the beginning of the most important thing, yes, because there's still problems.
Mm-hmm. Even though things have changed, they haven't changed.
They haven't changed that much. I belong to a group of straight people who, at one point, this will be part of my history.
Okay.
I'm a member of Alcoholic Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been a member for almost 10 years, which means I haven't had a drink in 10 years. And at one of our business meetings, the discussion came up as to whether to allow the gay groups to form their own AA group. And was this in accordance with the practices and principles as set out by the originating group in New York City and by the Central Committee in New York City? Incidentally, I've held many, many offices and still am holding offices in this. And I was rather interested in the various comments, because there I sat, a lesbian. I don't know whether they knew I was or wasn't. I feel that some of them might know and some of them might not. But on the other hand, the comments were quite interesting. In fact, one white-haired gentleman who I thought would be most critical of a gay community said, well, why not let them do their own thing? Which rather amazed me. And there were other varied comments, but none of them were exactly too critical. The idea being that if they were alcoholics, they had a right to find their way to sobriety, their very best way, which I found a very interesting comments of the business group.
Well, it sounds like you're ready to get started on history, so why don't we get started? Do you want to start with how you first came to...
Fine. I was married when I was 18. I had always been very mechanically inclined. In fact, just recently my aunt, who spent a weekend with me, looked at the tools in my garage and said, you should have been a boy. And she meant nothing by it, because she's some 83 years old and doesn't know that anything like lesbianism exists.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. When I got married, I realized that I was different than other girls. I apparently didn't have that terrific oomph that girls that are getting married do. And my mother did not exactly approve of the boy I was marrying, although she gave me a rather huge wedding with all the trimmings. A dance orchestra, a reception, a dinner for 100, and so on. But the day before, when we were making the final arrangements at the Hotel Terrain, which at that time, the George Washington Room, was considered one of the more elegant places in town to have things, we came out from the final arrangements, and Mother said, don't start the car from now, I'll attack you, Dorothy. And I said, okay, and she said, are you sure you want to get married? She said, you want to change your mind? It's not too late. And I sat and thought, but I said, oh, no, Mother, I'm in love. She said, if it's because you're afraid of facing people, I'll quit my job. My dad died when I was two, and Mother worked. and I had just graduated from high school and I just started working. She said, I'll quit my job, you quit yours, we'll go to the West Coast. I said, oh no, I'm in love. Because it was the thing to do at that age was to get married, right. And I wanted to be one of the crowd.
How old were you, 18?
18. Incidentally, he was an alcoholic who was a violent, abusive, physically abusive person.
Mm. But you didn't know that at the time.
I didn't know that after we got married. I only stayed with him 5 months because I got tired of being shot at, chased with an axe, and picked up and thrown bodily across the room. Now, I had an uncle who was a doctor, and I was not very fond of sex. It was a very, very painful, horrendous experience. Although I did it, I didn't like it. So this uncle of mine, I was the daughter he never had, and we were very, very close. And so he said, how's it going? Because I lost so much weight. I went down to 80 pounds from 125.
Whew.
And
In 5 months. Oh, no.
And he said, what's the matter? And I said, well, among many things, it's very painful to have sex. And he said, well, let me examine you. And I said, what? He said, Dorothy, if I look in your mouth or look in your ear or examine you vaginally, he said, it makes no difference. I've seen thousands of women and you're no different than anybody else. So I said, okay. So he had Norman and I come in, Norman was my husband, and he, of course, took me in and examined me privately. He said, you are very, very small. I mean, relating this because this might have a bearing on what we're talking about. He said, you're built rather small. And then he examined Norman, and he said, talked to me alone later, and he said, Norman is unusually large.
So that's why.
And he said, this is why it's painful, but he said, there is no reason why this shouldn't work, that you should get large enough, that it would not be this painful. But I hated the thought of sex with a man.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very horror of penises, which I didn't realize after I was married. I didn't like hairy chests. To this day, I don't. Oh, I went with a girl that had a couple hair on her chest. And at one point. But I did not like sex with men. So I didn't date for a long time, went out with the girls and so on. Then I started dating. And that's when I started having a few drinks, because alcohol was never... in our home, it just wasn't done.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring the alcoholism in, and this might have a bearing because it is, now that I'm in the program as long as I am, and in as many offices, lesbians and homosexuals tend toward alcoholism.
I've heard that.
And, this will come into it later on.
Okay.
So I started dating and started, you know, you go out to a tavern, you dance, you have a few drinks. And
this was after you left your husband.
Right. Uh-huh. And we were legally separated.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get divorced until much later. In fact, until about 1945, and I got married in 1936. So there was a difference.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, he got married 3 times without being divorced from me and had children by each of these women. But when I was, 23, I met Harriet. She was captain of the bowling league, and I had joined the bowling league where I worked. One other thing I might bring out at this point, other than one job, all of my jobs were promotions. All of them were, the firm I worked for was, should have been ERA, because even then I held down men's jobs and got men's pay. I started out as a bench inspector and decided I wanted to learn how to read blueprints and went to night school. And my supervisor found out about it, not through me. And this began a series of promotions where I went to UB and took up engineering. I was the only woman tool designer east of the Mississippi for many, many, many years. When women were unheard of as tool designers, I worked in time and motion analysis. I worked in standard budget cost. As I said, tool designer. All of the jobs I held, men's pay for doing men's work, even though I was a woman.
Is a tool designer a tool and die maker? Or is that different?
No. Tool designer is one that designs a tool. A tool and die maker makes the tools. Although one of the conditions, when I was promoted into tool design, one of the conditions of my acceptance was that I would work in the tool room. Because I said if I didn't know what the tools did, I would work in there for a month. If I didn't know what the tools did, how could I design them? And even though it caused a bit of an insurance hassle, the firm I worked for could see my reasoning, and the general foreman of the tool room happened to be a very good friend of mine. He was an older man. And he taught me many things, and it was of grade 8 when I was doing tour design. But I went to night school for a long time. In fact, I went to, when I went to UB in a two-year program, even though they didn't have two-year programs at that time, as they're known today, it was all engineering subjects, and I frequently was the only girl in a class of men, which I like men. I have nothing, I have no quarrel with men. I have a great many straight male friends and gay male friends. Mm-hmm. I just object to sex per se,
mm-hmm.
with men. I don't object to sex other than that. With men, yes, with women, no. So, met her. We went together 8 years. We used to, at that point, go down to a little tavern on Sycamore and Johnson, which Eddie was very kind to gay women. Our whole crowd would gather there on a Saturday night, and we'd take up the whole back room and could dance when women dancing was rather frowned upon in those days. And we would spend 35 cents for a half a fried chicken with French fries and 10 cents for a glass of beer, and for under a dollar had a great time.
What was the name of this place?
Eddie's Tavern.
Eddie's Tavern.
Mm-hmm. That's Sycamore and Johnson. But he was very, very kind, and he would not let any of the bar men, straight men, come back and annoy us. And we used to do a lot of things, our crowd at that point, which I might add, I am friends with some of these gals even today.
Were they all lesbians?
Yes. Our crowd was all
lesbians. How did you meet them?
Well, Harriet knew two of them, and it just grew. And then one night, Harriet and I had heard about Ralph Martin's, and so one Halloween, and Ralph Martin's was on Ellicott near North Division. And Ralph Martin was a very unique place. And there again, we could go in. This is after we sort of graduated from Eddie's. We wanted to go to a bigger place where they would have a band and dancing and so on and so forth. Now, Ralph Martin was very good to the gay girls and the gay boys. And there again, would not let anybody straight come in and annoy. He had bouncers and he would just kick them out. Excuse me. So our acquaintance grew. Mm-hmm. Well, then Harriet decided that she couldn't decide if she was straight or if she was gay, as she was sort of looking toward security, and so she got married and moved out west. I might add that although her husband knew that Harriet had had previous gay association, and because of we had an apartment, and I gave her half the furniture when they got married, in fact, I gave her most of it in exchange for the car, it was a very amicable settlement. Bob and I were very, very good friends. He was like a big brother to me. And strangely enough, when I used to go out to Cal, they had lived in a mobile home because his job is engineering, and he used to have to go from San Bernardino to Los Angeles and San Diego and so on. So they had this mobile home, and then they had this weekend camper. And when I would go out there to visit on vacation, Bob would live in the small camper so Harriet and I could have a double bed in the mobile home.
Is that right?
And Bob and I were as close as any two people could be, and I knew that he knew about gay life and lesbianism because at a later date, and this was a couple of girls later, this other gal and I lived in her home on the west side. And her previous girlfriend, and she had bought the house, and her previous girlfriend, Mary, Bob was sitting at the kitchen table, and Mary was kissing Harriet in the back bedroom. Unfortunately, Mary forgot about the mirror on the door, and Bob sat there and saw the whole thing, and Bob raved to me no end. In fact, I took him out to my summer home and let him out there for a few days till everything cooled off. But he always said that if Mary ever came out to California, he would not let her in. He'd kick her right out the doorstep. And he used to talk to me at great length about it. So even though he no doubt knew, because our engineering interests and our photography interests were in common, and he knew my tools, he knew the kind of work I did, he accepted me. But he didn't want anybody fooling around with his wife. And yet he would give us the whole mobile home when I went out there to visit. See, Bob and I are very, very close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he never tried to make a pass, and this, therefore, I liked Bob. I thought the world of him. He died of a heart attack, unfortunately. and Harry's quite ill now. Now, Harry and I to this day are friends. When she's well enough to come east, she always stayed at my house. When I went west, I always stayed out there. I had several of my girlfriends at the time that I was going with out there, visiting out there. I always had the use of her car. Incidentally, she and Mary did end up together. And this is about 18 years ago, after Bob died. And Mary and I are still good friends, even though she objected when I first started going with Seal, the gal that she owned the house with. But anyhow, after Harriet, I started going with somebody that was of the crowd who was a social worker in psychiatry, and we were together 13 years. Until she got to be possessive to the point that I could not go home on the 4th of July. Now, she had spent many weekends at my home with my mother and stepfather. I couldn't go home on the 4th of July and paint the porch because my stepfather at that point was about 81 years old and I didn't figure he should paint the porch. And I was tired of the possessiveness, tired of the fact that I was unable to do a simple thing like a home painted porch. She could have come with me. It was the 4th of July in the middle of the week. We weren't going anywhere. We weren't going to do anything. It wasn't that we'd planned to go away or anything. And so I just said amen goodbye.
When did you start seeing Harriet? In 38? Or later than that?
Got married in 36. This was about, it was about 1938.
So between the time you left your marriage, you started, did you have any gay friends before you met Harriet?
Never knew gay life existed, per se.
How did she know about gay life?
She had sort of been involved in it with these previous friends.
From the bowling league?
Now, I might go back further than that, though. When I was 12 years old, I had this very, very mad crush on a gal who at that point was 20. And Ruth used to play violin and play violin solos all over town, and Ruth would always drive me. Ruth would let me drive her car. Ruth would take me out for ice cream, sodas, and sundaes. And one night, we were coming home from somewhere, it was fairly early, and she kissed me on the forehead and said, "Read the Wall of Loneliness when you get a little older, and I don't want to see you until you're 18. And I was heartbroken.
Oh my God.
I worshipped the ground this gal walked.
Was Ruth a lesbian, do you know?
I know she was, but I didn't know at that point. In fact, I was on crutches due to a dislocated knee. My cousin would drive me up to the Buffalo General Hospital. That's where she was. And from the Buffalo General Hospital, I would walk home to Time and Best on crutches. This is how madly I was in love. Well, this broke my heart. And for days, I was absolutely distressed. Well, the time that, the Halloween, the first time that Harriet and I walked into Ralph Martin's, Ruth was sitting there with a girlfriend. And she looked up at me and she said, "I figured I'd see you here one day."
Isn't that funny? What did you think?
Well, we've been very, very good friends since. Unfortunately, she died just about a week and a half ago with cancer of both lungs. She was a very heavy smoker.
And
through the years, since that point, we have been very, very close, very good friends. I wasn't in love with her anything. We're just good friends. But I have some lesbian friends, girls, that I have been friends with for 20, 25, 30 years. Garrett and I are still friends today. As a matter of fact, she called me the other night from California, very upset. She and Mary had a big argument and they weren't talking. I don't know what I can do from this end of it, but... let's see, there was Harriet for 8 years. There was Charlotte for 13 years. Then a little bit of drifting and playing the field. Nothing very, very serious. And then there was Seal for 10 years. And then the last girl I went with was much younger than I. And at the beginning, I was very against the thing, even though I was very, very fond of her. I used to make her walk a fairly good distance to come up to see me. I would always drive her home. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to be sure, and I very honestly told her my age. And it would have been 5 years in October. But it broke up a few months ago. So one of the things.
That's what a lot of people tell us, that the toughest thing about lesbian life is the breakups. That's the one of the toughest things that they...
Yes, and there always is a breakup because with lesbians, there's a question of something new or a new approach or the sexual drive, that sort of thing.
Right. Do you think with straight people it's more permanent bond with the Lord?
Not anymore. Look at the divorce rate.
Right, that's true.
And insofar as being promiscuous, I think gay people aren't any more promiscuous than straight. Look at the straights. How many men are faithful to their wives? They consider it a male prerogative to have sex whenever they can, whenever they want to. Look at the history of wars and the rapes. The invading army considers it their prerogative to rape every woman in sight, which I think is horrendous, naturally. I would.
Right. Well, let's go back then to 1938. Let's see, when do you think it was that you went to Ralph Martin's for the first time? In 1940,
41?
41. 1941.
Now, at that, at a later point, and I know this, I don't know where I heard this, one of the meetings last spring. At a later point, I met this friend of mine who was professionally connected with Children's Hospital, and he was one of the boys. And there had been a robbery, which he saw the thief escaping. And the police took him downtown. Now this was around what? Let me think back a minute. Around 1956.
Mm-hmm.
Police took him downtown and had him go through the mugshots to see if he could see the person that he saw that had been robbing these nurses' lockers and things. And Skip told us at that point that they had one book entirely of homosexual and lesbians, and he saw a lot of his friends in, that they would station themselves, and you've heard of this before, station themselves opposite the gay points, like there used to be one on Elm Street at that time. Tangera was one of the first female impersonators that I ever saw. I saw him with Harriet. But they would station themselves across the way and take pictures of the lesbians coming out of the gay spots. And they have one entire book, which no doubt I'm still on file, downtown, where they are all gay and homosexual and lesbians.
And they went back as far as 1940?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They went back quite a way. Skip was astounded because he saw so many people he knew, including himself. He said, I flipped that page real fast.
That wouldn't identify me. Well, how did you hear about Ralph Martin's? Did one of Harriet's friends tell her about it, or?
I don't remember how we heard. Somebody told us.
Uh-huh.
I know it was one of the boys, one of the girls. I don't remember.
And when you started going, did you go every weekend?
Sometimes. Sometimes we'd go like two, three times a month. Sometimes we'd skip, depending on how we felt. Now at this point, and as Harriet said to me when I told her I had, of course she saw me when I was drinking heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd go out there on the plane and I would have two Manhattans while I was waiting for the plane. I'd have three on the way because, you know, I changed from here to Chicago and you get fresh drinks. And by the time I landed out there, I was feeling no pain. So she saw me when I was drinking very, very heavily. But she always said, Dee was her nickname for me, so is to this day. Dee, she said, you were the last person in the world that I thought would ever be an alcoholic. She said, I used to drink more than you did. Which she and Bob at one point owned a tavern down in Steinberg, which is down near Olean. And that was when they got married. That's where they moved, before they moved out the coast. And even owning a tavern, neither she nor Bob drank very much, although at one point Harry and I used to drink quite a few beers in one night. Why I became an alcoholic, I don't know, and that really isn't important, other than I think it's part of the temperament of a lesbian.
Why do you say that?
Well, I would say it's the uncertainty of lesbian life. There's only one set of lesbianisms that I've known been together 30 years. And the only reason they have been together 30 years, at one point when one of them was going out and playing around and going with this one gal, the other one still kept the home fires burning, would go out, go to parties, and never make a pass at another gal, would dance and have a heck of a good time. And she just sat tight and kept the home fires going until the other girl got tired of the gal she was going with, and the two of them are still together and very happy now. But it was a rough time for one of them for about 6-7 years. And how the other one hung on, I don't know. That's the only two gals that I've known have been together 30 years.
Are they in Buffalo?
Just outside of Buffalo.
Just outside of Buffalo.
Not Highland, one of those small communities just before Harry, before you get to Hamburgtown Park.
Mm-hmm. So, you think that it's the uncertainty in whether your relationships are going to continue, that
right.
Well, when we were interested in knowing a little bit like what social life was like in the 40s. Like, what did you and Harry used to do together for a good time?
We would go to taverns, or we would go to house parties, or we would have parties.
Uh-huh.
We don't have a gang up for Saturday night.
Uh-huh. And let's say, how many people would be at a house party?
20.
20. And would those people be your close set of friends?
Mm-hmm.
And would it be men and women?
No, primarily at that point it was girls.
Primarily girls.
It wasn't until around 56, in the 50s, that I began knowing as many of the boys and being very close friends with a lot of the boys. And to this point, some of the boys, like, for example, Jack and I have been very close friends for about 24 years. As a matter of fact, I'm going to a dinner party there on Monday night. He's probably going to put all my strong windows on next week. I mean, this kind of... And when we moved, because I had owned one house, and then we bought the house together, then I bought her out.
This is with Harry?
No, this is, I'm talking about this very last one.
Right? The last one also.
We bought the house together, and then she fell in love with this other gal and me. So we'd only had the house from February to then, so I have the house, and it's quite a big house, and I had been ill. In fact, I had partial mastectomy a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which she was ever making out of surgery. And I still see her occasionally, but not very often. In fact, I ask her not to call me twice a day because I think it would be, I get over fast. But getting back to the 50s, that's when I started being close friends with some of the boys. And there again, the boys seem to stay together much more than the girls.
Do you think that's true?
Yes. I know several cases of boys that have been together 30, 35 years, 25 years. Because the boys, a lot of them have the understanding, okay, you go out and play as long as you come home and pop it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think the inherent psychological fear of pregnancy, the girls more or less demand the single standard. It's been my experience of what I've noted through the years.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Huh. Have you found that in your studies?
Well, we have found that in general that the boys will have many more affairs without that breaking up their relationship. Well, it's
right.
Unusual for girls to
right. Then
have affairs.
Then you're bearing out what I'm just
right.
saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in your research.
I never thought of it in relation to pregnancy, though.
Well, I think it's an inherent psychological. It
mm-hmm.
is something purely psychological, obviously not physical
right.
or not actual. Hmm. But I've said that for years as I have watched people grow and get together and separate, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, way back in the 30s when you first found Harriet and then met her friends, were people into roles? Like, were there butches and femmes
oh,
in
yes.
that time?
Yes, yes, yes.
There
yes.
were, huh?
In fact, our crowd at that time, all of the butchers thought that I was the butch, I don't know why, and wanted me to go to butch night, which on Friday nights was at Ralph Martin's. All of the butchers would go down and stand at the bar in a row. I did it one time, Nicky Mum said to Harry, that's not for me. And then, of course, I horrified many of them because two of the boys... Excuse me. The one boy was president of his union, and there was this great big dance at Kleinhans and a dinner and a dance. And of course, Harriet and I were their girlfriends for the night, Roy and Andy. And we had gowns, and of course, Harriet was a hairdresser. She did our hair up. And after the dance, just for the fun of it, we went down to Martin's. They in their tuxes and we in our gowns. Well, that ended me with the butches because they thought that I was betraying the butches. And I have always felt that a person, a lesbian, should be flexible enough to get along in both worlds. It's easier that way. I don't see I have to walk around with a sign on my forehead that I'm a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
I am what I am.
Mm-hmm.
But why advertise my sexual preference?
Well, when you and Harriet went out, did one of you look more butch than the other? You must have. No or not?
I don't know. That could be a moot question. Because Harriet never believed in advertising, and if I started to be butch, she would stop it immediately.
Uh-huh.
I do have some masculine tendencies, like the way I walk, for one thing. I tried to control it. The way I used to smoke. I don't smoke anymore.
So, when you two went out, it wasn't so clear that you were a lesbian couple.
Excuse me. When we went out with the gang, it possibly was.
And then you might be wearing a suit or...